This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey everybody, Jason here again. Thank you for tuning in. I'm super excited. This is another special guest series on the Authentic Persuasion Show. As you know, my mission is to help fill the world with authentic persuaders. You being here and being a part of this journey is hopefully a step towards that, where we shift the way sales is done. And that's why I'm excited for these conversations that I have, where I'm bringing people on, especially in season 7, which is all about professional sales education programs out there, which I have to say, and I've said this so many times in the season, up till maybe a couple of years ago, I didn't even know this was a thing, even though it's been around for a long time. And so I'm excited and honored to bring a lot of this out there to people who might not even realize that there's these programs out there, that these professional educators teaching people sales, which is why I'm excited for today. My guest is Beth Renninger from the University of South Carolina's Darla Moore School of Business. Now, in her words, Beth is an experienced professional who has demonstrated remarkable ability to drive results, build innovative programs, lead teams to success in both corporate enterprises and now in higher education. And she's here to talk about sales and sales education. Of course, we're going to start with authenticity. Beth, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thank you, Jason. It's great to be here. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, me too. And I love starting at this part, which is funny because for so long I did my podcast where I never talked about background stories. And I was like, hey, if you want to find out more about this guest, go online. We're not going to spend time on like the hero's journey. Let's just dive into this. But I think it's such an important place to start because you're teaching people sales. And I always love to find out, where did you start in sales? What did you do? And then also, what did you think of sales when you began?
Yeah, that's a great story. And I have kind of an interesting, you talked about a journey, and mine has definitely been a journey. I had a long corporate career and started working in operations, which was about as far from sales as I could get. Then I went to an organization which was called marketing. And as a marketing grad out of college, that's what I wanted to do. And I got there. And what I learned was it was actually a sales organization. And for someone who was a definite introvert, it was a moment where I panicked because I thought, I'm not a good sales professional, but let's see what happens. And what I learned was I loved it because I'm curious. I'm very interested in people. I like to ask questions, and I also like to help people. So after a few years as a senior corporate account manager at a large company, I crossed over into marketing and then had a number of different experiences as a marketing executive, where I also was a sales leader of various channels over the years. So I have sat on both sides of the table. The last part of my corporate career, I was a sophisticated buyer in the digital world. So I did a lot of tech buying of platforms that enabled us to do a digital transformation. I have been an enterprise sales leader working with a complex account team and selling complex services to multiple locations, nationwide companies for voice and data networks. And now I have the privilege of teaching students what I learned, why it matters, and how they can have a great career. And what I always say to students is, you may not think you want to sell, but if you have any interest in developing a superpower, sales will be it. It will change your life and puts you in a position where you can really decide what it is you want to do, what you want to be, what you want to have in your life, and sales will be the ticket to get you there.
I love it. That's amazing. So you started in operations, degree in marketing, ended up in sales. What did you think about sales before you went to it? Because you jumped right into, I found out that I loved sales and the reasons why, but what did you think about it beforehand?
It wasn't pretty. That was exactly why I panicked when I found out that the marketing organization was actually a sales organization. I think like everybody, and we do a lot of talking about this with students, sales has a lot of negative connotations, and people think that you have to be pushy and you have to like talking and you have to want to be the center of attention. And you have to get people to do things that they don't want to do. And the reality is there are many salespeople who take that approach, but they are not the most successful ones. The most successful ones understand there's a lot more to it than that. And I think that's a very much in alignment with your research, your experience, and this idea of sales is about authentic persuasion. And so I'm excited to be here today and talk with you a little bit about those two things. So what I learned was sales was not what I thought it was, something I thought I was going to hate and run from. I actually ended up loving, and it changed my life and my career, because even when I was no longer an individual sales professional myself, as a leader of teams, I was always selling my ideas. As a leader of programs and a builder of new things to do old things, new ways to do old things, I had to always be selling my ideas, my team, our capabilities, and understand who my buyer was, even if my buyer was someone in the same organization as me.
Okay, so slight tangent. Skipping ahead, you're dealing with students. I'm going to guess, similar to experiences I've learned from other professors in this field, is that your students in the beginning of the course, some are going to have those same thoughts about what it takes to be successful in sales, right? Like the outgoing center of attention, kind of talking people into things they might not want. Is that generally or some of the consensus that you get in the beginning of the course with students?
Yes, absolutely. They're terrified. And most of them end up in my classroom because somebody they know has told them to take the class, which is the highest compliment that I can get as a faculty, where we have word of mouth that students are saying, this was the most valuable class I took while I was in school. It helped me get a job. It helped me gain confidence. These young people, that is probably one of their biggest challenges, is that they don't have confidence. And so learning more about themselves and getting comfortable being uncomfortable and processing what that looks like, what that feels like, starts to change lives. Many of them say at the end of the semester, I never in a million years thought I would pursue a job in sales. And now I am, and I'm so excited. There are some that say, I learned I don't want to sell. And I say both are a win for the students. It is a great way. You can never go wrong with strengthening your communication skills. That does not just look like speaking. It's partly speaking. A large part of that is listening. A large part of that is figuring out how to connect the dots. Some of that happens in writing. Some of that happens verbally. Some of that happens through various social platforms. But when you can get comfortable and gain confidence doing that, you're set, even if you are going to be an accountant or you're going to work in finance. Or if you're a sales professional, I've had a couple of great calls from some grads this week saying, I cannot believe how well prepared I feel now that this is my first week on the job. And now I'm being asked to do things I've already done in class.
Well, and I think part of it, because I hear this about a lot of the programs where much of the value is gaining that confidence in things that you didn't know you could do or weren't sure about. And it just makes me now realize the biggest challenge of going out there and getting a job, especially when you're young, or if you need to pivot later in life. But even, you know, thinking back when I was young, there's always that difficulty with, well, you need experience to get a job, but you need a job to get experience. Mm-hmm. So basically, at some point, you need somebody to hire you without any experience, and you need to survive long enough to get the experience so that you can then go get a different job. Instead, the model and the mode that you're in, which is students in college in a safe place, getting that confidence and getting that experience such that they can go out there and be like, yes, I know what I'm doing. And they kind of break that cycle of you need a job to get experience versus the other way around. So question though, kind of going back to, like, let's say, I'm just going to use my word for it, the gross stuff about sales that people are worried about having to do. Where do you think that still comes from? Do you think that still actually happens a lot there out in the world? Because I feel like it doesn't at the scale of which people really feel like sales is gross, but how often does gross stuff really happen? Like, where is that coming from that you're, let's say your students are still, it's still perpetuated of what sales requires or entails?
That's a great question. I think that it does not happen nearly as often as it used to. But for any one of us as individuals, when we have that kind of experience, it's so gross, it's so off-putting that it goes to the core of who we are and we never forget it. And then we start telling our friends and our family, oh my gosh, you won't believe what just happened to me. I was walking along minding my own business and then this person jumps in front of me and did this. Or I went someplace or my phone rang or I got this email and then my phone rang. I don't know how they got my phone number. There are a lot of examples, sadly, too many examples still, of sales that is not done. We have an adjunct that uses this word, and I love it, honorably. And that, I think, is what, because it's so visceral, our reactions to it, I think that that's why we feel like, and why students think, they hear that from their families. Oh my gosh, you're going to go into sales. There was a time before I got to USC where one of the other faculty said, I used to field phone calls from parents who said, I didn't send my kid to 4 years of college to have them end up with a sales job. Now I'm getting emails saying, I can't believe my student, my kid got such a great, amazing job and he's going to work in sales for a blah, blah, blah company and it wouldn't have happened without you. So we've come a long way. And I think that the kind of sales jobs out there are a long way from the telemarketing jobs of the past. And they really, there's many more that are truly honorable professional sales jobs and careers.
Yeah. And in thinking about those parent complaints versus the newer reaction, it's just thinking generationally, right, of what sales used to be. And for most people, they don't understand the world of B2B professional sales, right? Or selling higher, you know, professional services and things like that to businesses. And so they think, you know, I'm going to say this, a lot of people, especially previous generations, think sales is something you do as a default that you get into because you don't have any other path, right? Like you end up in sales versus choosing sales. And again, if you don't understand the world of business, if you're not a business person, right, let's say, you know, then you don't understand that whole part and what goes into it and the value when it's done right versus like what you're talking about with your students now getting out of school, right? And this is, you know, as a guy with a marine biology degree that basically, you know, couldn't get a job in marine biology without a master's degree, ended up working in restaurants and then Microsoft and then falling into sales, right? Like I am that person who's like, can't believe you got a degree, but now you're doing this, like, you know, that mode for me versus, you know, what it could have been now.
Yeah. And I was not supposed to go into sales. I went into a leadership training development program. And I was very excited about this because I thought I was going to get to try lots of different things. And being in operations first, I really liked that. And I did lots of, you know, I had people working for me that had more years with the company than I had years alive. And I kept thinking, I can't believe I'm the boss. What, you know, but I learned so much about communication. And there was also a dynamic of they were in the union and I was management. So I was not allowed to do what they did. And I truly had to figure out from a process perspective, if I want them to be more productive and we need to do more work or we need to do it more efficiently, how are we going to do that? Because I can't just pitch in and help. So I had to ask questions. And that was a great setup for when my next move into sales, where I remember going to the initial training and the whole time driving to Maryland to attend this training session for 3 weeks, I was like, I can't believe that I'm doing this. I'm shy. I'm quiet. I don't know how is this going to go? And I thought, well, I can always ask questions and let's just see what happens. And after the training, then going back out and every sales professional has this day, it all leads up to this. And then you sit at your desk and you're like, here it is. the moment of truth. I am now supposed to pick up my phone and start calling, or the phone rings, or I get an email now. It's go time. And what's that going to be like? And so the reality is we have to be able to face our fears. And so I talk with students about that in the classroom. Back to my current thing. I face my fears answering the phone or making phone calls and realize that if someone hung up on me, I didn't die. Like, okay, not great, but let's just keep on going. And there's so many more tools and technologies available for today's sales professionals than we had back then. But the reality of there's no substitute for doing it. There's no way around it. And so we start with students in the classroom, and that's what I say. There is no substitute for just doing this. You think you don't want to do a role play in class? I'm going to tell you, you will do role plays in class. And you are more than capable. And so we walk them through what that's going to be like, how to do that. I set up what I call some like bumpers for them of they get some lifelines. They can phone a friend. They can ask the audience, which is the class. They can ask me for help if they get stuck. And then they start to realize, oh my gosh, I didn't die. I can do this. And oh, it's not so bad. It's actually fun. And then they start volunteering. And so through those experiences, I think learning to sell is a little bit, it's like a muscle, right? Like anything else, mm-hmm. You have to work it. You have to use it. You have to try. You have to go through a little bit of the pain afterwards of I tried it. Now I got some sore muscles and I got to work that out and keep doing it. And then you start to realize the benefit of getting better at it and more success.
Well, and that's where it's always important. Like, and that's what I love the way that you're doing it and those kind of environments where it is safe is that no one's ever died doing role playing. I'm going to say no one's ever died. I can't imagine anyone has, doing role playing or making outbound phone calls, wherever that balance is with, it's not personal, it's business. It's also not business, it's personal. So you have to always make sure that you're doing the right thing. And I think that is so important when it comes to the students and talking to them about this. Like, are they excited about what you're teaching them about what it takes to be successful in sales versus what they're thinking it does? Like in that mode there, kind of going back to that. Do they embrace that? Are they excited? And where's that balance of them, being authentically themselves and also being a professional?
They're very excited and they're very terrified. And so the way I counter that, knowing as a marketer, I know my audience, or as a sales professional, it's true, no matter which one of those buckets you find yourself in. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned my first few years of teaching is I can say whatever I want to them, but it kind of is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so their golden source is their peer group. And so what I've started to do is I have a class that's finishing at the end of the semester. And I deliberately do this old school. I have them write on an index card a note to the student that's going to sit in their seat the following semester. And I say, what do you think the incoming Gamecocks should know about you, about this class? What advice do you have for them? What I was getting at was, many of these millennial Gen Z, now we're into Gen Zs, they learn and they make decisions based on the wisdom of the crowd. So I was trying to create a Yelp-like sort of experience for them of ratings and reviews that's real-time, offline, not rate your professor, but real. And so I watch the very serious faces when I hand out these cards and say, this is a note for you from an outgoing student. So their age, just finished this experience, complete stranger. And then I watch how seriously they read that note. And then it's worked beautifully. And then by the end of the semester, the students are asking, am I going to get to write a note to the next group too? Because I have things I want to say. And it, so that has exceeded my expectations. And what that helps to do is so many of the notes to the new students say, I know you want to drop this class. I know you feel scared right now. I did too. Don't drop it. Face your fear. You will get comfortable being uncomfortable. You will gain confidence. And no matter how many times I say that, when they hear that from another student, it's just worth so much more for them.
So I love it. That's amazing.
That helps to overcome, back to your question, what's it like at the beginning? That helps them to overcome their terror, which it really is in some cases, terror, because they don't know what they've gotten themselves into. And they're trusting whoever recommended the class to them. They're not quite sure why they're there. They're one foot in, they're one foot out. And so we spend the first class not just going over the syllabus, but really setting expectations for what the semester is going to be like. And I start to position then the benefits as a sales professional. I am positioning the benefits of what I'm selling, which is this class, will do for them related to their life. And then they see that and they're being sold to. And at that point, they don't even yet know it.
What on the topic of authenticity, but from a different perspective, what do you think buyers are looking for, especially, you know, referencing what you mentioned earlier in your career path where you were a sophisticated buyer, like you're on the buyer side buying, you know, some serious solutions. What is it that buyers want from salespeople?
Number one thing is relevance. And I just can't reinforce that enough. And to me, this is where many sales professionals fall short. And as a buyer, and it still happens now with people reaching out, I will get repeated emails saying, I only need 15 minutes on your calendar to hear about what are you teaching? Or back then it was to talk about your business challenges. Well, the hundreds of sales professionals that all sent me the exact same note. Now, some companies, and there's lots more tools that people are using now, but still it comes down to relevance. I had this really talented sales leader, sales professional reaching out to me with an educational platform. And it looked pretty cool. And she followed up and put a little video in it so I would see that she's a real person and it wasn't just AI. And I liked the tone. I liked her authenticity. I liked what she was saying. And then, so I went ahead and I was curious. I booked a little time with her, but then I sent a note and I said, I just want to confirm that you have ABC capability in your platform. And she came back and said, oh, actually, no, don't have that. I have DEF. And I said, much as you've done a great job as a sales professional positioning with me and following up, I want to tell you, those are not relevant to me. That's not what I do in my classroom. So I don't need to talk to you. And that is a perfect real-time example of the same thing that I lived in my corporate career, where everybody wanted to talk to me and they did not make it relevant to me. The contrast to that was a couple of people that were standout that earned business from me, a significant amount of business, because they made themselves, their solution, their product relevant to me. I used to say, walk a mile in my pumps before you come for time on my calendar. Because if you don't know what my problem is as a business, like a corporate enterprise executive, you have no business asking me for time. You should know what are the top three, top five things that I'm working on and what am I accountable for and what might be keeping me up at night. Don't ask me what's keeping me up at night. You should know. And so relevance through research that is effectively communicated, that is what gets through to a buyer. You can tell this is a hot button for me.
No, and I love that because so many people, you know, part of their job is that outreach and some level of business development or starting those conversations. And I just see that so much where people literally either don't understand, aren't empathetic or truly connected to the people they're reaching out to, or just don't care. And they're just trying to scale whatever they can and send the massive amount of emails and just playing a numbers game and hoping that it works. And I love what you're saying. It's like, you know, you and I've heard this before from other sales educators as well, which is, you know, don't ask questions that you should already know the answer to if you're a salesperson and you're trying to get time or information from that prospective person. Right? Like, hey, like you said, what keeps you up at night? What about like, should already know, and you should have it narrowed down pretty well, especially if your solution solves any of those, then that's what you should be focused on. Right.
Right. Right. Yes. Completely agree.
And I think that's going to be part of the next part where we talk about the sales process for sure. Well, and I think it's just so interesting because what you said is that the buyers want is relevance, right? Time is so precious and they want help, which again, that's where we're going to get into the next part. And so I think that's a great place for us to end here on authenticity. So for people who want to find out more, connect with you, find out more of the program, Beth, they can check the show notes for the links. I know that they can connect with you on LinkedIn. So Beth Renninger. Mm-hmm. On there, and it's Renninger for anyone correct. Who might not have the show notes, you want to go find that out. And then also for University of South Carolina's website, I am not going to read this thing because this thing is long and crazy, but it will be in the show notes. You can also go to sc.edu and find it, or probably just Google the Center for Sales Success and USC, and you'll find it that way.
Great. That's exactly right. That's what I was going to say. Use Google and I'll find it for you.
Google it and you'll find it. That's always the easier way to go, especially, you know, versus trying to find it or type it all out. Beth, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing all of this on authenticity and what you saw in sales and what your students are seeing and what you're helping them and how you're shifting their mindset around sales. Like you said, for the ones who want to get into sales now after your course and they're excited, the ones who say, I don't want to get into sales, but at least now I understand it. I agree with you. Both of those are so valuable. So thank you for being here. And I can't wait for part two.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And for everyone tuning in, thank you for being here and being a part of this journey. As you know, my goal with the podcast and in general is just change the way that sales is viewed and change it from the dirty word that just seems to keep perpetuating for one reason or another. Even if it really doesn't happen that much in the world, when it does, it feels gross and it just leaves that mark that this is the way all salespeople must operate, which isn't fair, but it's also fair because it's not regulated. And so by you tuning in and being a part of this, it is helping change that. And hopefully you got some value from this episode. And no matter what, until next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.